The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus told his disciples this parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out at dawn to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with them for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. Going out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said to them, "You too go into my vineyard, and I will give you what is just." So they went off. And he went out again around noon and around 3 o'clock and did likewise. Going out about 5 o'clock, he found others standing around and said to them, "Why do you stand here idle all day?" They answered him, "Because no one has hired us." He said to them, "You too go into my vineyard." When it was evening, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Summon the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and ending with the first." When those who had started about 5 o'clock came, each received the usual daily wage. So when the first came, they thought that they would receive more, but each of them also got the usual wage. And on receiving it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, "These last ones worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us, who bore the day's burden and the heat." He said to one of them, "My friend, I am not cheating you. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what is yours and go. What if I wish to give this last one the same as you? Or am I not free to do as I wish with my own money? Are you envious because I am generous?" Thus, the last will be first, and the first will be last. The Gospel of the Lord. My summer reading has consisted of several books, one of which was, and still is because I'm not finished yet, Joan of Arc by Mark Twain. You know the story, at least in its rough contours. Joan lived in the 1400s, was an uneducated peasant girl from Ars, France, led the armies of France against the occupying English. I sympathize with Joan because India also wanted to get rid of the occupying English. She defeated them and crowned Charles VII, the true king of France. Let me share one beautiful quotation from Twain's playful pen. He wrote, "Consider this unique and imposing distinction. Since the writing of human history began, Joan of Arc is the only person of either sex who has ever held supreme command of the military forces of a nation at the age of 17. And incidentally, what were you and I doing at the age of 17? Our highest ambition was probably cruising Grand Avenue and winning the state football championship. And yet, for all her innocence, sanctity, and single-minded purpose, something always bothered and bugged me about Joan of Arc. Why would a saint be so consumed, maybe even obsessed, with real estate and politics? Shouldn't a saint's primary preoccupation be prayer and the moral virtues? Who controls the country and who owns the land is the business of politicians, not priests. But in Joan's mind, the two, church and state, were inseparable. Why? Well, because of an ancient maxim that will sound absurd in the ears of modern Catholic Americans namely, cuius regio, eius religio. Literally rendered, whose realm, his religion. That is, whatever religion the king practiced automatically became the religion of all his subjects. And if you belong to another faith, your choices were limited. You could convert, you could leave the land, or you could be executed. Ah, the good old days. So Joan's main motivation was not so much the land, but rather the liturgy. That is, greater freedom for the church to expand the kingdom of God. That is why she is a saint. All this rather lengthy introduction is a necessary prelude to understand the saint we venerate today, Saint Bernard of Clairvaux. Saint Bernard lived from 1090 to 1153 and died on August 20th, hence today is his feast day. He initiated a reform of the Benedictine order called the Cistercians. Bernard felt that the Benedictines had become soft in their religious zeal and believed the Cistercians would better reflect the original ideals of Saint Benedict. He was the abbot of Clairvaux, hence his name, Bernard of Clairvaux. He founded 163 monasteries and was declared a doctor of the church. But what I want to highlight about Saint Bernard is that he preached the Second Crusade. The Second Crusade. To rescue the Holy Land from the Seljuk Turks, that is, the Muslims. In fact, St. Bernard wrote the constitution for the Knights Templars, whose primary role was to protect pilgrims on their way to the Holy Land. And of course, since they were knights with swords, they would also fight to defend the Holy Land from the would-be occupiers, like the Muslims. In this sense, St. Bernard in the 12th century had the same spirit that filled the heart of St. Joan of Arc in the 15th century. That is, they both saw a deep connection between land and liturgy. Bernard wanted to protect and preserve the Holy Land so that the faith could be freely practiced there. Just like Joan of Arc wanted to free France from English tyranny so that the faith could be freely practiced in France, the so-called eldest daughter of the church. In other words, both saints' primary concern was not political, but pastoral, to advance the needs of the kingdom of God on earth. Have you ever noticed how Catholics always have had a keen eye for land and liturgy? Think of where Subiaco Abbey is located, perched on top of a small mountain overlooking the entire river valley. St. Scholastica Monastery is built on the highest land in Fort Smith. And of course, our own beloved Church of the Immaculate Conception is situated at the head of Garrison Avenue, praying for all the denizens of our fair city. But never forget that our chief concern is not about the retail value or the resale value when we invest in land as the church. We don't care about the ROI, which stands for return on the investment, but rather the roi, French for king, also spelled ROI. We invest in the king so we get an investment on the return for the church. Jesus Christ and establishing his kingdom on earth. And it is an undeniable fact that there can be no celebration of the liturgy without land upon which to erect a church. And the noble liturgy should always stand on the most noteworthy land. Praise to be Jesus Christ.